This episode of the Oil City Underground podcast is brought to you by the Limit. Why'd you do that? Redo that. That threw me off. I can't even.
I was improvising.
The limousine scene is. Fuck, I do. This episode of Oil City Underground podcast is brought to you by the limousine scene, Bakersfield's premier private driver service with limos, party buses, and everything in between.
You can find them on Facebook or at limousinescene.com.
Hey, you don't know me, but you don't like me. Say you're careless, how I feel. But how many of you that sit and judge me ever walk the streets of Bakersfield?
Okay. All right, welcome to the new and improved podcast.
Oil City Underground podcast with your host, Bruce Gray, and your co-host, Ben Bradley.
With your host, Ben Bradley, and a guy named Bruce Gray.
Yeah, who sometimes is here.
That's great. And luckily you were here this morning. We were able to sit down with the assistant general manager.
The Bakersfield Blaze, Philip Guyrie. Freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
God, that's a really fun interview. I'm excited for you guys to hear it.
It's a blast. It's fun because I don't think it's a secret. I do not like baseball.
Do not know anything about baseball.
Yeah, so
we didn't really talk anything much about baseball except for some crazy promotional antics of some heroes.
It reminded me of, you remember that movie, Semi-Pro?
Yeah, basketball promotion.
Yeah, it's like, I'll fight a bear. Like, that's the kind
of what it is. It's just trying to draw fans into the baseball game.
Everybody love everybody. Yeah. All right, that's Jackie Moon's motto.
Player, what was he like? He was player, coach, and owner?
Yeah. So Jackie Moon had a one-hit wonder as well.
Love Me Sexy, right?
Yeah.
What a great movie. I'm probably going to watch that movie today. This is going to be a fun podcast. We're going to be doing probably a lot of different episodes. I was going to say a time frame or how often they're going to be out. But who knows, man?
Yeah.
They're going to be out, so don't rush them.
Yeah.
They're all going to be fun. It's going to be a little bit of me and Ben, and we're going to follow them all up with an interview of there's all kinds of different people.
Guys that we find interesting doing things in Bakersfield.
In Bakersfield, exactly.
And like, it's not necessarily all guys. I mean, girls don't talk to us, so it'll probably be.
If you're a girl and you want to come on the podcast, you have to approach us because we're not going to approach you because we're too scared.
Ever do this.
I must say, Ben had a date last night.
I did have a date last night. I almost missed the podcast this morning only because I was sleeping hard. I didn't sleep until like 7 a.m. And
I showed up at at 8 a.m. with donuts.
Yeah, which almost got me out of bed. Like you,
it got you out of your bed and to the couch.
Yeah.
And then, I have a picture of you sleeping literally 5 minutes before Phil showed up for the interview. And then somehow you woke up and were spry enough to be and do well on the interview.
Yeah, which is something that I mean, I live on coffee, man. And I had no coffee this morning either. And so
I almost brought you coffee, but I brought you Gatorade because I figured you'd be dehydrated from not only being hungover, but also the copious amounts of semen you must have produced last night to be up until 7 in this morning.
Oh, well, thanks, man. That's what Gatorade does for you.
Replenish
the bodily fluids.
Yeah, it's a lot of salt in there, too.
It's sodium. I mean, it's good for the soul. That's why they call it sodium.
This is a podcast full of puns. I must say, this podcast got very punny when Phil was in the building.
Really quick, and, too.
I just have to remind everybody how many times during the podcast that I love doing this podcast. Every time there's a pun, I just have to let them know that I am.
See, here's not the thing, is that you worked with Phil for a while over at
he was place. My boss for 3 years.
And I had talked to the guy once, but basically you sent me a link to an interview that he did. And he's basically giving his backstory, and it's super weird, man. The entire time, I was just saying bullshit.
Yeah,
bullshit. It's
super,
insane.
He's super interesting guy.
Yeah, backstory: the guy went to community college for 6 years, and then decided that he wanted to get into sports, and then really jumped headfirst. But that was only after he joined.
He went to community college for 6 or 7 years. Went to a real college for 2. And then he went to Spain for a summer and was an anarchist.
Yeah.
And then moved back and was a pool boy for like 2 years. And then moved to... we didn't get to talk about this on the podcast. But on that interview, he says he did an art show. He did 100 paintings in 3 months. And then sold all the paintings. Got a job doing baseball stuff in Idaho. Moved to Idaho. And went from... a year after that was the assistant general manager of the Blaze.
Yeah.
So he went from like interning to assistant general manager for nothing. And it's a pretty unconventional dude to have such a conventional job, I guess.
Yeah, and it's cool because once you hear him talk, once you see it, you'll see that he does, even though it's unconventional, you can understand, intelligent, sharp.
Yeah, some good promotional ideas.
Yeah, it's great. So, all right,
came here looking for something. I couldn't find anywhere.
Wait 1 second.
Does Bill Murray know that he owns this team?
Yes. Bill Murray.
This is like a coincidental thing?
He's a partner in the Gold Clang group.
Gold Clang?
Gold Clang.
That's a real thing.
A real thing.
I thought you were making that up.
No, that's a real thing. But Mike Vec, who is the son of Bill Vec, Bill Vec being a legendary baseball promoter who... in 1948, I think, sent a midget to bat.
Right.
Eddie Goodell. You know the midget story.
I do not know the midget story.
Okay, so I think it was 48 or 46. He sent Eddie Goodell, number 3/8, up to bat.
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Number 3/8.
Goodell walked on 4 straight pitches. They're all too high.
Because, yeah, the strike zone on a midget.
So. Yeah, exactly.
And he was pinch run for?
The funny thing is that Eddie Goodell didn't really want to do it. So originally, Mike Vec had him, had told him that there were snipers on top of the ballpark. And that if he swung the bat, they would kill him.
Kill the midget? Or kill the
midget. In front of a ballpark. Like a ballpark full of people. Now, this will happen with the St. Louis Browns, and they are...
Oh, my goodness.
They are, shall we say, the Bakersfield Blaze of Major League Baseball teams at the time.
You're quite the baseball promoter yourself. I didn't even know if we introduced the interview. We will in the intro, but we're with...
We kind of just jumped right into that one, didn't we?
Of course. Philip Guyrie of the... formerly, currently of the Bakersfield Blaze.
Currently.
Perfect.
No, I mean, this is good. This gives me time to catch up on my donut.
Yeah, his donut. My former boss, Philip Guyrie.
Yeah, old Bruce Boy, Bat Boy Bruce. Well, I have a funny story about Bat Boy Bruce.
Yeah, tell me, because when I think of, like, heterosexual jobs, Bat Boy doesn't...
So please. That's far down the list.
That's a pretty hit. I mean, you're Bat Boy, you know? You're hanging out with the boys.
Yeah, right.
In the locker room.
No, it's more like you're a boy. It's a really racist thing. I always thought, like, I feel like because boy... Like,
boy has some serious racist conversations. Especially in South Carolina.
And especially whenever you are acting like a slave to all these baseball players constantly.
Who are almost as old as you are.
Yeah,
Let's not joke around. Bat Boy Bruce was... not really a boy. I mean, you were at least 18, right?
Yeah, of course.
19, 20?
18. 18, 19, and 20, yeah.
Yeah, you did 3 years.
Yeah, 18, 19, 20.
As far as the etymology, I'm still stuck on Bat Boy. it's weird because the difference between Batman, which is bad.
Yeah.
Because I thought I could maybe call myself the Batman because I was 18, but it didn't stick like I wanted it to.
No. It's funny because Visalia, who's also in the league.
Oh, yeah, they have...
they have a guy named Les. Who's
I don't know
that he actually works for them, but he might. I don't know, but sometimes he's the Bat Boy, and... he calls himself Batman, and he wears like a Batman shirt.
Okay.
And Batman socks.
Well, if you're committed to it, I feel you should be able to.
He's special, a little bit special. Not too special.
No, yeah.
He's a little bit like, he's like Froggy. You know Froggy, the guy who sells programs at the Blaze game? The guy with the voice.
Have you ever been to a Blaze game?
Yeah, with me. I got
drunk at a Blaze game. And I was talking about the throwers and the catchers. Yeah. And I
took him and one other comedian to a baseball game. And they're sitting there, neither of them understand anything about baseball. And they switched. It was the like inning switch, they switched
the, oh, yeah,
the field and batting. And Trevor, the one who's asleep, was like, oh, okay, check this out, guys. You see, the throwers have now become the hitters.
That's true. The throwers do become the hitters.
See, and that's what...
Except in minor league baseball, the guy who's actually throwing the baseball doesn't yeah. bat.
And the most excited yeah. either of them got the whole game was whenever a bat broke. And they were like, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
That's what, yeah. what we came
like
for.
It's like a hockey fight yeah. at a baseball game.
That it brings up a good point that I think should be discussed in more serious type situations, and it's not, and I feel really bad about that. But as far as what the better weapon is, a regular bat or a broken baseball bat?
Broken baseball bat. Well, it depends where it breaks.
Yeah,
it depends if you have both sides also.
I mean, a broken baseball bat, I mean, if it's shattered, if it
explodes, shattered, then
yeah. you don't want that. I mean, what good does that can do? You're going to stab someone with
you're
it?
You're going to sawdust. You're going to blow sawdust in their eye. That's yeah. effective.
But
that's...
but a for real baseball bat, that's, I mean, those things hurt. I got one in my truck. And by
is
my
that,
bed.
You is have, that you some have... sort of random threat? Like,
I'm really? Just saying. I'm just saying.
A passive-aggressive threat towards us?
This podcast isn't going the way I want it to go.
So, but so isn't the law that know. If you have a baseball bat in your truck, you also have to have a baseball next to it?
I got a ball and a glove in there too. I'm no dummy.
Are you serious? That, is that a law?
Yeah,
I think
is
it
law.
Is a law. Because you can't
California.
Just carry around a baseball bat like you're some kind of fucking...
What if you're like...
I'm not actually like Steven okay. Seagal.
Yeah, like you're some kind of warrior.
No, it's the three of us go out to play the baseballs.
Yeah.
And
if I bring the ball, he brings the gloves, and you bring the bat, and you get pulled over...
I'm toast.
Yeah.
I'm toast.
Basically.
My friends are meeting me at the park, yeah. I swear.
And that's the one time where, like, you get arrested for not having balls.
Yeah.
God, this podcast is awesome. This is lovely. So, ooh. Phil, you were talking about a story.
Oh,
we're talking about the story. We can talk
anyway,
about
so Bill Veeck has a son named Mike Veeck, who his claim to fame early on in his career was Disco Demolition Night. in the 70s in Chicago, because at this point Bill Veeck owns the Chicago White Sox, his son says, "Dad, everyone hates disco. What we should do is collect a bunch of disco records and explode them. We should just blow them up on the field."
Is this guy like your idol as a baseball promoter? Is this guy like your idol in baseball promotion?
Bill Veeck invented baseball promotions. Like
he's like
Bill Veeck. I mean, he did a ton of dumb things. I can't remember all the dumb... Well, the thing about Bill Veeck is that he was in World War II. He lost his leg, and it kept getting amputated. Like, they had to take more and more and more off. So eventually he has a...
You know that chronic amputation.
They couldn't get it right.
No, they just... They're like, oh, what's good here? And then eventually it's like above the knee, I think. But he had a peg leg. And the peg leg, he could take off, and there was an ashtray in the top of it. So he would go to the baseball games, and he would just sit in the bleachers, like the cheap seats with like all the rowdy kids, and smoke cigarettes and ash into this peg leg, and then just put it back on and walk away. Yeah, I know,
ever
right?
Heard in my life.
Bill Veeck's kind of a...
Oh, is that my phone going off? God, I'm
gonna have goodness.
My phone alarm.
Please put all your phones on silence. All right, so anyway, so Mike Veeck in the 70s wants to follow Dad's footsteps. He has a Disco Demolition Night. They detonate a box full of disco records. It turns into an absolute riot. Like, people storm the field. They're throwing records like frisbees. Like, it's a mess.
Which sounds very dangerous, because I've been at a concert where people were throwing actual frisbees.
Yeah.
Hundreds. I went to a concert and they were giving frisbees outdoors, and then all of a sudden the sky is the sun is blocked out by frisbees, and everybody's getting hit with frisbees.
Our frisbees will block out the sun.
But records would be sharp and
they're
dangerous.
Sharp on the corner, yeah, on the edges, yeah. So it was the White Sox had to cancel the game. It was a big mess. So Mike Veeck had some problems getting back into baseball eventually. So he started off in like indie ball with the St. Paul Saints and the Fort Myers Miracle. So yeah, you know, he got back in. Eventually, Bill Murray, who loves baseball, he joined in. So now
he joined in the antics of this.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I like funny things. So he owns the team, and he'll go to the games, and he'll take tickets. He'll work the concession stand. He throws out the first pitch. You know, he's just there to have a good time.
Yeah. That's funny.
Anyway, so they're on the team in Charleston. He's not going to hire me. So
now we're back to square one.
So now I'm going to the Waffle House.
Perfect. Well, hey, are we good? What is that I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Is it static? Or is that static? Or is that Phil's beard touching the pop screen?
It's definitely Phil.
Yeah. I just trimmed this beard.
Really?
I took like 2 inches off of it. Not a job interview.
No way.
For a job interview.
Well, it wasn't even an interview. It was just a meeting.
Yeah.
With potential employer.
Potential employer. So, let's talk about you and baseball, Phil.
Okay.
What's up with you? How did you end up in Bakersfield, of all lovely places?
I took a wrong turn in Casper, Wyoming. Just,
Casper, Wyoming, Bakersfield, I've been everywhere.
All right, well, that's a...
It's a Hank Snow song.
Okay. you're not from Bakersfield?
I'm not from Bakersfield. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. I feel like I missed that part. I don't get the Jacksonville.
All I heard about Jacksonville was the story on the porch about the guy riding his bike with the dog on his shoulder every day of the week.
Okay.
You know, the bike dog guy down Jack's Beach.
If you're listening, we know you. Dog.
If you're listening, ride your bike over to Bakersfield. Yeah. It's on a podcast.
maybe a job at the Bullies, too. That'd be a good promotion.
Bring your unicycle friend. Man, we actually at Sam Lane, we had a guy stop by, and he wanted to with his dog. He's got a big dog, and he proposed a promotion where the dog will go out pregame, and on a bat of the dog's choosing, he will piss on the bat. And then if you said, of course, you're hired. If the player hits a home run with that bat, somebody wins a prize. And I thought, that's a damn fine promotion right there. A damn fine promotion. You
see, that's a damn fine promotion, sir, but I just don't think it's what we're looking for at this time.
Check back in March.
No, all right, so here's what is the wording that you use on that? Is the piss?
Oh, I send them all to Mikey. There's another guy that works in the office.
Piss bat.
Because, Sam Lynn.
Beat off piss bat. I don't know.
I think it would be a... I don't even know. Like, he really... I don't know what you would call that. The piss bat home run.
piss bat home run night.
Wait a second. Is it just like the dude has a score, or could it be like RBI?
No, it's a home run.
It's a home run.
It's a home run or nothing. And if he breaks, let's say he goes...
I feel like it would be hard to track. Yeah. You know?
Right? Which bat it was.
Yeah. Let's say this player goes up first at bat with this piss bat,
right,
and gets jammed, breaks the bat. Did this guy include any kind of asterisk in his deal? Would he have to come re-piss?
We didn't get that far in the conversation. I actually didn't have the conversation with him. See what happens in the Sam Lynn Ballpark.
You
which
lied
I,
to me.
I love Sam Lynn Ballpark with all of my heart.
Yeah, I feel like Sam Lynn Ballpark was made for you, and you were made really for is. Sam Lynn Ballpark.
It was destined to be. Like, you guys can come to me and bitch and complain about Sam Lynn, whatever it is, but I think you're wrong. I just think you're wrong.
I love Sam Lynn, too.
It's so good. Like, it's so small. You can talk to everybody. It's just everything about it is wonderful and weird. And so, but it, due to its location close to the river.
And the other side of the river.
And the other side of the river. We get a lot of folks come through just to chit-chat.
Right.
In the past week... No, the past, like, 2 weeks, we had one guy who wanted to build a dome over Sam Lynn Ballpark.
Okay.
With the help of Don King and Golden Boy Productions.
Right.
They want to make it, like, a small little Staples Center.
I'm not going to lie. That's a good idea.
It's a great idea. I would totally be into that. And if Don King or Golden Boy Promotions want to do it, then I'm all for it. You know what I mean?
I am, too, because...
I mean, it's hot out there in the summertime.
You can bring the Blitz back to Bakersfield.
Exactly. I missed the Blitz.
Did you ever? Were you here for Blitz games?
I missed them. They were gone before I got here.
Oh, man. It was kick-ass.
There's a football at the antique store. This is Blitz on it. I'm always like, I should buy that. And they're like, no, you really shouldn't.
Until, like, last year, there was a poster that I saw that was not a poster, a billboard in town that was a Blitz billboard that was still up.
No. It was on... Chester, right?
I think it was still up to like last year.
No, it wasn't a Blitz. It was a Jam poster. It had the Jam on one side, and the other side had those real estate dudes who just went to jail.
Oh, not Castle and Cook.
Castle and Cook.
Yeah.
And so it was the Jam. It was like the Jam girls on one side, and the Castle and Cook guys, or Castle and Crook as they're known, on the other side. And the reason that billboard was up for so long is because This is the dumbest story ever. I think whoever owned the billboard, like Lamar or CBS or whoever owns billboards, they wrote in the contract with this woman that somehow something like they forgot an apostrophe, or they used your instead of your, or there instead of there instead of there.
Right.
So they actually signed over the billboard to the woman. Like, she became the owner of the billboard.
That's kick ass.
And so she just like sold it to, you know, whoever you sell billboards to. And then eventually she just died, or she quit selling it or something. Yeah. But yeah, like the company screwed up and they just like turned over their ownership of that billboard to this woman.
Dude, if I had my own billboard, I would think I could just do anything I want with it.
You could. I want. You could.
There was a water tower in a, I think it was in Oildale, I'd imagine, but forever it said really big on it, spray painted, Dave's Tower. And I was always like, man, I wish I could meet Dave because he's probably so kick ass. He climbed all the way to the top and said Dave's Tower. Are we all good?
I'm gonna swap out your cord, dude, because that's
is that is this one?
So
how far? How much time are we in?
We're at 14 minutes.
Oh, we're fine.
Yeah. So I guess I lied to you when I said that it would be uninterrupted.
Yeah. They did lie. You just hit pause on there, or did you stop?
You know what? I didn't do shit to it. We're actually still recording.
Oh, cool.
Well, I'm not
recording.
Well, I was toting my bag down a dirty Winnemucca road.
I'm gonna cut this out, so don't. Like
when a man came by.
I've actually been on the road to Winnemucca.
Have you?
Yeah.
There's a casino in Winnemucca that a lot of casinos or a lot of comedians do.
Oh, really?
It's really shitty, but it's like a known place just to be shitty.
I've been everywhere.
Yeah. Feeling good on a Wednesday.
South Carolina. Where the ocean meets the
Charles River. No, the
no,
the Ashley River.
The Ashley River.
I live in West Ashley. It's west of the Ashley.
So it's called West Ashley. It's not actually Charleston.
All right.
No, that's the neighborhood. Okay. It's like I live in Oleander. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, man. Since I just swapped out your cord, if I ever hear that crackling again, I'm gonna have to pause this, and we're gonna have to have you shave right now.
Don't. If you don't pause it and shave me, you'll have all of my tears, all of my crying on podcast.
We won't even stop it. We're just gonna be so. Phil, where exactly are you from? Please, this podcast was not worth it.
No, I got this windscreen in front of my microphone. It's on. Yeah, I'm good.
See, it was the cord. I thought it was. Yeah. See, this is the sound of your beard rubbing on the windscreen.
Yeah, that's it. Right there. Next,
I'm gonna have whoever the next guest
don't,
is.
Don't let him.
I'm gonna have the image in my head of Phil just rubbing his beard all over the
like a cat.
Yeah. Well,
I'll buy you new pantyhose for this.
New pantyhose.
Do you want the ones I'm wearing?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be stellar.
Oh man. So,
Jesus,
I don't even know where we were. I felt like I was gonna leave off on a
no
Don King Dome Golden Boy Production. So
we had Golden Boy Production is going to build us a dome. Uh-huh. We have a guy who wants to have his dog piss on the bats,
right?
Or a bat, and then we had a guy show up this week who wanted to start his own baseball league in New Salem Ballpark. And then
so he goes. These people come in here thinking in their head like, this is good.
They're going to love this.
Well, they walk up to me, and they're like, hey, man, who do I talk to about doing this?
About my dog coming to piss on a batter.
I have one answer, and it's always, oh, go talk to Mikey. So then there's a guy named Mikey that sits in the office, sits at the front desk, and he'll open the door. Like, someone will open the door and walk in, and you can tell right away, like, okay,
yeah,
I know where this is going. Yeah. And then they'll come up with some crazy idea, and then he'll yell at me. He'll text me, because I always tell him, like, oh, yeah, go talk to Mikey. Tell him Philip sent you. So that way he doesn't, like, send them back to me. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I just talked to Philip. He said to go and talk to you. So Mikey and I are probably not friends anymore. Because the golden boy, he calls, like, once a week. He's still working on it.
Oh, perfect.
And I really think that when he does it, we're all going to, you know, we're all going to have to eat crow, because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to grow grass in there. I didn't get that far with him.
You're going to come back to Bakersfield and it's going to be the Baco Dome at Sam Lynn Ballpark.
It's going to be Golden Boy Dome at Don King Dome.
Oh, my God.
The Don King Dome? Did you realize what you just said?
Yeah, I did. I did. That was the joke.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't give you credit.
Well, the Don King Dome. You know,
if you are listening to this podcast, rewind real quick. Good joke from Phil.
He's got all the hair on his dome.
I was thinking about this in the shower today in a very...
about Don King's dome?
In a very non-sexual way. Is the time that at Sam Lynn Ballpark that you almost... removed the head of the clubhouse manager from San Jose.
No, Stockton.
Stockton. That was what it was. It was Stockton. And I guess we'll start the story by saying that the athletic trainer from Stockton is like 6 foot,
he's
five, 350 pounds of pure solid muscle.
I don't even think that's muscle. I think it's just like rock. I think he just came from mountain. Yeah,
his body isn't even round, it's square.
He was part of a mountain and then a river of diesel fuel ran over it. And over time, the Colorado carved the Grand Canyon, just carved out their athletic trainer.
Yeah, and I've never seen anybody run as long as him. Because I've seen him run around the baseball stadium, field, probably 500 times in a row, just nonstop.
He's a beast.
But,
all right, so...
The away team's clubhouse, the locker room, supposedly the toilet kept jamming or something... And
somebody kept clogging the toilet.
Somebody, somebody with many quotations kept clogging the toilet.
Who's carved out of rock.
And so he kept coming to Phil, who isn't the guy really to come to about a toilet being clogged.
Although I do admit that I do look like the guy.
Yeah. But it's like if the toilet was clogged at a restaurant and you pretty much went up to... like the most head person in charge and said, come fix the toilet.
If you went to the head chef of if you went to the Outback and went to the head chef and you were like, hey man, the toilet's clogged up. Now luckily for their clubby, who I will not name, my first response was, oh, well I can get that. I'll find a plunger and take care of it. And I looked all over the ballpark for a plunger and it was right next. It was right next to the toilet. It was toilet, plunger in the visiting clubhouse, and I was like,
oh
okay, well I'll just plunge this toilet now that I'm here. So I unclogged it and then I left and I said, hey man, that plunger's right by the toilet, so if it happens again, you know what to do. It happened again.
Take the plunge.
It happened again, and this is right in front of the entrance to the home team locker room, and I was standing with Phil, I believe, and maybe one other person.
Froggy.
And the guy comes up, he says, hey, the thing is jammed again, and Phil says a lot of things to him, but the most important thing is that Phil said was, you know what, man, I think the toilet would be fine if you didn't have your fucking huge-ass trainer shitting in the toilet every 10 minutes. Or he said, maybe you could just have your huge-ass trainer go somewhere else to take a shit or something that involved the huge-ass trainer. The huge-ass trainer, who, of course, was nowhere to be found at that time because he would have shaved your beard with his bare hands.
I think, and I learned this afterwards, because we have a dog show at the ballpark every year.
Pit bulls.
And
here's the thing about that. Maybe fuck you a little bit, because I played in BC's drumline, and I came out to the pit bull dog show.
Baco Bullies, lights out.
Baco Bullies.
Which blew my fucking mind.
It was amazing, isn't it?
Okay, the dog show, very, very cool. But I'm sitting there with this fucking huge ass drum strapped to me, thinking,
wait, are you playing the bass drum?
I am.
The least cool part of the band.
I wasn't going to mention the drum I was playing.
You're not playing the eight snares. Yeah, you're not that guy. You're the drum. The boom.
Yeah. But we're sitting there, it's and then all these pit bulls just chilling,
yeah.
Play louder, bitch. I dare you.
No, yeah. It's that's the. I hate that dog show because it's just a pain to work. Right. But those dogs they're gorgeous. They're beautiful.
Yeah, those people really take time.
They spend thousands. We last
those
year.
Those dogs get stolen. And it's a big deal.
Last year, the dude that won drove from Michigan. Drove from Michigan to Bakersfield, and it was 3 in the morning. I'd been there since 8 a.m. So now it's 3 in the morning, and I'm loading this dude's pit bulls into his car. And I was like, he's like, hey man, where do I get breakfast? And I was like now? And he goes, no man, I'm going to sleep. And when I wake up, where do I get breakfast? I was like, oh man, Crystal Palace, baby, like best brunch in town. And I was like, it's kind of expensive. But as I'm saying, I'm like, you just drove from Michigan to you can handle the $25. Yeah,
one thousands of dollars from a dog.
Yeah, but that dog show is amazing.
Yeah,
amazing. But the dogs are on such a high protein diet that when they go, it's not like normal. It's not like a normal like piece of poop that you like find in a gag store. You know what I mean? Like it's just like this solid mass of like protein that comes out. It's like a liquidy brick. It's just it's weird and gross. And that's what the trainer does in the toilet in the clubhouse.
And so we went a long way. So
I went, the trainer does. I went back and I was like, oh my God. So I knew it was the trainer. So the clubby, who's not carved out of brick, like
he's carved out of
raisins or something. I don't know.
You, okay.
So I told him, because I didn't tell the trainer. And then I purposely avoided the trainer in case... they told him what I said about him.
That guy's a fucking monster.
He is a monster. I think we're cool now, though. I mean, me and the clubby are all right, and I think the trainer, I think we're all right.
Yeah, that clubby,
He's I don't know.
The best part was
listen, man, you can push me so far, but eventually I'm not gonna clog your toilet. Like I'm the assistant general manager. Yeah. I got things to do. Like
yeah,
I left you
like the manager. God damn it, I'm the one who clogs.
Yeah. Like I did it once. Like you're a guest in my home. I'll unclog the toilet for you once. But after that, you're gonna have to like figure something out. Like I don't know. Dig a hole out back. That's fine. That's what probably go to the Jack in the Box.
That trainer. He's got to be doing something. He's got to go do something besides... He's got to shit somewhere
besides it's just not... We got old toilets. I probably shouldn't tell on a podcast.
Let's hear it. Please.
For a while, I was an anarchist in Spain. I lived in an anarchist squad.
Okay.
What does that all entitle besides non-governmental
activities? It's a lot like this podcast or the Outback. There are no rules. It's just right.
Just right. But see, I
was a terrible. I'm not actually an anarchist.
You're a terrible anarchist.
I was a terrible anarchist.
Whenever I think of an anarchist, I think of like a Molotov cocktail. But
there was that. It's a very weird. It was a very weird summer.
Yeah. So, go on. I'm gonna stop talking.
Okay. Yeah. The girl I was dating at the time, her sister lives there full time. Which I guess makes her a full-time anarchist. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the schedule's
for. Yeah, like. I don't
kick-ass thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely doesn't like authority. I mean, that's for sure. But I mean, really, who does? So they, we, the, my girlfriend lived there for a while, and in one squat that you couldn't really flush the toilets, so you just had to shit in the paper bags, and then carry them down to the dumpster eventually. So for a while, they were just like. You know, you get maybe two bags before it's like, all right, y'all really need to take care of this.
Yeah.
So then the next squat.
And then they'd say, fuck you, I'm an anarchist.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're no rules, just right. Yeah. You're the assistant general manager. You carry my bag of shit down the toilet. So for a while I was shooting it. I only did like, I mean, because I was just visiting for a week there. So I found a Starbucks. I'm a capitalist loving American.
Shittiest anarchist in the world.
Yeah, I know.
I had to go take a shit, so I just went to the Starbucks.
Yeah,
anarchist like that. I'm like, yeah.
Well, that's where we got our toilet paper from. So
stole toilet paper in bulk from Starbucks.
Yeah.
Was it even rolls or was it just?
No, yeah, it was a roll. You take the roll.
Oh, I thought you just wheeled it all out and kept it.
You just go. Backpack. If there's a roll there, you know. You take that roll.
You roll with it.
You roll with it.
Starbucks.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
So,
no. Here's my biggest thing because in my head I have no idea how true like anarchy gathering works. Just because it's like, hey guys, what are we doing today? Fuck you! I'm an anarchist. Like,
yeah. It's sort of like that, but I think it involves more cheap wine and cheap beer.
We
played a lot of dominoes.
Yeah. See, I saw. I saw some kids yesterday at a Denny's that were in a big van, and they were all seemed like they'd been traveling for a while and just like doing whatever happens. And would they be considered anarchists?
No,
would they have to have anti-authority views?
Yeah. I mean, it's more than just being homeless. They were homeless. I mean, I know.
Man, that anarchist really needs some change.
I know
change.
A lot of homeless guys, and they're, you know, they're not anarchists. They're just, you know, down on their luck. but, no, yeah, it's, I mean, it's a whole, I mean, there's a whole, well, there's a whole lifestyle, man. Like,
so, yeah, all right, so you're playing dominoes a lot.
So I'm playing dominoes,
and you say that kind of jokingly, but I don't know, I kind of think about it, and... Like, I mean, are the rules, or is it just like, fuck you, I'm an anarchist?
In the middle of the game, just wipe the board and say, fuck the rules.
No, I mean, they're all, you know, they're rule-abiding. They're just not, logical. You know, if you can't, you know, if I don't have to pay rent, I'm not going to pay rent. I'm going to live in this abandoned house. Well, this house is abandoned. Why would I not live here? Then there's one community center. They were all pretty good. I mean, it was everyone. I mean, there were people from all over the world, really.
Yeah.
Australia and other EU nations and South American nations. And there's a community center called La Opera.
La Opera. La community Opera. Center for anarchists.
Exactly. Well, it was for the neighborhood. It was just run by anarchists. Okay.
I mean, that's like, God.
It's like, oh my God. It's like, you don't want to move into that neighborhood.
And
you know?
I should make this very clear that I was a really bad anarchist. Really
I can tell by your Starbucks shit. Yeah,
like, I'm not an anarchist. I actually got into an argument about anarchy. Well, not about anarchy, about, I don't know, some protesting thing. So I'm not the authority on anarchy, if they're
okay,
can there be an authority?
Fuck you, I'm an anarchist.
So I mean, I just had a free place to stay in Barcelona for a summer. It was nice. And we cooked dinner and went on walks through Barcelona. There was we lived on the property that was owned by a library, so we went and got
that's not very anarchist
like. Well, I mean, it was an abandoned building, like
an abandoned library. Yeah, so we have all the knowledge we want, and we'll use none of it because fuck you, we're anarchist.
Well, there was an anarchist library in another part of town where you could go and you could just get books. And
so, did you guys have any sort of like anarchist cookbook?
now that's good shit. Is there like a.
Yeah, there was like beef stew. Fuck you, you do what you want. It's anarchy. Put chicken in it. It was a beef stew with chicken. It was weird.
Yeah, well.
Is there, it might be a dumb question, maybe against the anarchist rules, but is there like a head anarchist of the anarchy scene? Or like the best anarchist on the scene?
He is anarching so hard right now.
Right now, dude. There were what I would call criminals.
Okay, those are the best ones.
Those are the best ones. There was a story I heard about a guy, and I don't know the guy, and I don't know the story is true. I don't know anything. This is just a story I heard about him driving through a small town in Spain, and he like got out of the car and ran over to a UPS truck and slashed all four tires because he really hated capitalism that much that he didn't want the UPS truck to drive around, which. I don't know if that's true or not, but to me it just seems like a really bum deal for the UPS driver who's now just like sitting outside like a little champ like grocery store being like, well, I guess I'm not getting my package delivered today.
That's a Barcelona accent? Is
because they speak Catalan up there. They're not actually Spanish, they're Catalonian. So
yeah, so that's what
the accent's
sound like
a little different.
Did you run with the bulls?
I did not run with the bulls. But there were bulls on parade.
God, this is a great podcast. This is a great time.
I didn't even go to a bullfight. I kind of wanted to, but I never did. I never did force myself to do that.
They're like celebrities over there, aren't they?
Oh yeah. That's pretty cool. I mean, bullfighting is. It's a huge deal there, mm-hmm. and culturally. Just not something I can get behind personally. Being a vegetarian, so I could never get into it. But I mean, I don't begrudge. Because
there's like a new, didn't they make some kind of new rule we're against bullfighting? There's some kind of
thing
I heard.
I thought you said a canoe, and I was like, where the fuck is this going?
There is a new canoe made of a bullfighting.
There's some kind of new rule in bullfighting now where like they're either not, it was on like E60 I think, where it was saying like, these guys who were once celebrities cannot do their job anymore because bullfighting is illegal. Or like,
yeah, I mean, it's getting tougher to be a bullfighter. I mean, because it is like a sort of, I mean, sort of a heinous act, I would say. It's the same with like cockfighting or dogfighting, not cockfighting, but cockfighting.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about dogfighting and cockfighting, which happens. Cockfighting happens a lot in
there
this area.
Actually, there was a shooting at a cockfight a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I honestly, I would go to a cockfight if I knew where to find one, just once, just to be like, okay.
Yeah.
This is what goes down.
I mean, it's just part of the... I mean, I'm against it. Listen, I am not into animals fighting each other for the sport of other people.
I'm into the culture of it.
You just want to do it because they want to do it. Anarchy, bitch.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's kind of like a compromising thing. It's like, anarchy, but... I only eat vegetables. I'm going to this Starbucks.
It was heated. It was clean. It was. Yeah. It was nice. It was nice. Starbucks.
You hate yourself the entire time.
I don't drink Starbucks. I mean, I didn't buy a coffee while I was there. You're just not.
Got a water for free.
Yeah.
This fucking system.
Yeah, hey, you don't have to win me over, man. I mean,
I just don't like Starbucks coffee. Anyway. So cockfighting, it's fun. I would not go to one, but in Louisiana a couple of years, they passed a law to make cockfighting less. Because, you know, they put like razor blades on the chickens' legs. And so it's illegal, but in Louisiana, it's such a part of their culture. I mean, it's part of like Southern culture and like in Louisiana too, the Creole. Like, it's just there. So they decided that they put little boxing gloves on the chickens.
Put them in an octagon.
And then there's judges, and it's like...
Yeah.
It's like,
and so they just put these little boxing gloves on the chickens' feet, and then they boxed each other.
Wow. Do any chickens ever get knocked out, or is it always a good decision?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I'd have to ask my friends at Golden Boy Production.
With the dome. What time are we at?
We're at like 35, and we're going to cut 5. My grandpa from Louisiana, and...
A pelican.
Louisiana.
And he would tell me stories about, as a kid, he would tie cats together by the tail and then throw them over the line for the clothing line.
Like shoes?
Yeah, and then he'd smack them around, and then they would go at each other, and they'd just scratch each other's...
See, my grandpa is from back east, and he told me a similar story, but he said it was with railroad workers. All right, sorry. We can edit that out too.
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, we have Asian listeners. We have
listeners. Yeah, Asian listeners. See, this is we gotta get all this bad stuff out now.
Yeah,
all the stuff we can't say in public on the.
Yeah, just tarnish this one.
Yeah,
this podcast will never see the light of day.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, you know who's got
big dick.
Us, all of us.
All three of us.
If you're listening and you work for the Charleston River Cats, River Dogs. Philip Guyrie is very hireable. I am one of his references on his resume.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Under mentor.
The best Bruce Gray story of Batboy is that when he would, when he was on the visiting side and the visiting team would hit a home run, Bruce Gray would not pick up their baseball bats. That's your job, is to pick up the baseball bat.
Yeah, they're coming back around. It was kind of like a fuck you. Like,
they're coming back around. I'm like, yeah, they're coming back around. The look on a man's face when he hits a home run. It is the best thing you can do,
right?
To have somebody
dick you right at the end of it.
You just like got your head. And you're in the visitor's ballpark. You're walking, you trot as slow as possible. It's not like you're running, you're just trotting. Like, it could take 8 seconds to get around those bases.
Yeah, fuck it, man. You see that shit? It went far.
Yeah, like, I did that. And, like, F you, pitcher. And then they just get into home plate, and their bat is still sitting there. And they are so confused and then saddened. And then they have to, like, pick it up. And the on-deck circle at Samlin Ballpark, I mean, everything is so far away from the home plate. Like, it's like when you strike out and you got to walk back to the dugout. It could take, like, 45 minutes. Like, it's just like...
Which is something weird, because normally most people, when I talk to them about baseball, they're like, that shit is action-packed.
Yeah, well, it's not action-packed.
Action-packed. See, whenever they would...
I think there's eight minutes of action in a three-hour game.
Yeah.
Like, 8 minutes of actual action of guys not standing
actual
around.
Actual action.
Like, pitching, hitting, fielding.
Yeah, I was going to say, whenever the ball is not being held by somebody, I wonder how much time.
Yeah, 8 minutes in 3 hours.
Action.
That's a long time to just sit around and
that's
eat hot dogs. Which you can get for $1 on Mondays.
Why are you still plugging Blaze Club?
I'm just saying.
You're still plugging Blaze
Club. Dollar tickets, dollar hot dogs every Monday.
Wow. Give me a call. That sounds like a great deal. Tell us more.
Dollar beer on Thursday, fireworks every Friday.
See, I did go to the dollar beer.
Yeah, yeah. Dollar beer is pretty good. And it's not even like Bud Light or anything. It's like Tecate, I think.
Ooh.
It's fancy beers.
I remember them telling me that I could only get two at a time.
How many hands you got, buddy?
And exactly. And so
if there was a guy with one hand, would you be like, how many hands you got, buddy?
You got one hand, one beer.
I got back in line immediately.
Yeah.
And I was jamming on them because you have to drink them if you want more.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like a limited time window.
Yeah.
So it became like the most epic, like, dun-dun-dun, sports center.
Ben Bradley in line, chugging two different water cups of beer.
You should get them in like a Gatorade squirt bottle. So you look like a commercial for Gatorade. Yeah. It's like, just squirting.
I'm surprised I never did that with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Freshly brewed from the Rockies.
What a hero that man is.
Isn't he a wife beater?
Like a tank top?
God,
I love this podcast so much.
I think Steve Austin is a bad guy.
I think Steve Austin is the tank top.
I'm going to take these headphones off if you keep talking bad about Stone Cold Steve Austin. Because that man is not only a hero to me, but a national treasure to this to this country. I almost said to this company. An asset to this
company.
We
have no company.
He has a podcast, too, that I've actually heard is pretty decent.
Is it?
I haven't heard of it.
I was so confused because I stopped watching wrestling, like, in the early 90s, like with the Rookie the Dreamboat. That was my Rookie the Dragon Steamboat. And so I quit watching it because I became an adult,
right?
And I went to a
and you're an anarchist.
Because you became an anarchist, you're like, no more time for stupid fake wrestling.
And so I went to a store and I was standing behind this guy in the back of his shirt said Austin 316. And I was like, damn, I go to church, man. I would know if there's a Book of Austin. Is there a Book of Austin? There can't be a Book of Austin. It's Mark. Paul, Exodus.
But Paul?
Yeah, but I was like, no, Austin. And then he turned around, it was a wrestling shirt. And I was like, ooh, now I get it. It's not really a Book of Austin. Texas that guy made that up.
Texas.
I want to challenge you to the fact that I don't believe there's a Book of Paul either.
Ooh. There's a Book of Paul.
I believe
Paul. This is a preacher's father versus anarchist Bible battle. Son.
Paul letter to the Corinthians.
Yes, okay. So right, Paul wrote some books, but he never like self-titled the album.
Boring. Yeah, it was just like, it was like Book of whatever featuring Paul. Like, it wasn't actually Paul's album. He's just on
okay, so there's song. No Book of Paul, I guess, but there's a letter to the Corinthians from Paul.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Did he write that book?
Paul makes an appearance.
He wrote like so many books. I think he wrote like 13 books.
Okay. So when I say there's a Paul, we can at least agree that Paul wrote the damn Bible, right?
So Paul is like which artist is it? Picasso that never sold a painting till he was dead?
No,
Paul wrote all these books.
That was Van Gogh.
Van Gogh. Paul wrote all these books and nobody cared.
He was never got any credit. He was the minister formerly known as Saul.
Yeah. Don't call him.
What a great podcast.
No, that's accurate. But
anyway, yeah. So there's definitely not a Book of Austin.
Definitely.
No, that's Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's writing his own book.
He's writing his own book.
Yeah.
Nice.
It includes spraying Kurt Angle with a fire hose of beer, and it includes, you know, flipping people off and just being all around badass.
What's great about the Book of Austin, when you think about it, is that it's so detailed and finely tuned that it needs reference numbers as well.
It does. Yeah. It does. He's got chapters and verses.
Yeah, like, that's some shit, man. Most people just do chapters. Most wrestlers, I would be impressed with a pop-up.
Yeah.
You know?
Just a blurb in the
Except
Bible.
Who's the smart one? Mankind.
Mick Foley.
Mick Foley. That dude's a genius. Yeah. That dude's a genius.
Was.
I think the best thing he's ever done is probably collect two checks being two different wrestlers.
That's
probably his biggest achievement.
Yeah, I'll tell you, he's a genius.
Being two guys at the same time.
He's a genius.
But whenever I was a little kid, I would like watch it with my older cousin and like my uncle. And so I would like be like kind of out of the loop because I didn't exactly know what was going on. So it wasn't until I was a little bit older that I realized it was like Mick Foley was Mankind with a metal gimp mask on. Which is, if I could get a Mankind, that's pretty kick-ass, a Mankind mask. That'd be a kick-ass Halloween costume.
It would be. It would be. A little sock puppet and everything.
Sock puppet, yeah. Because it would just be the gimp mask, the sock, and then the white shirt and the tie.
Yeah, and some brown pants.
Yeah,
how did that guy become a wrestler? He's so out of shape.
I know. That's...
Like, he's a wrestler because he has a high pain tolerance. Yeah. That's what it is. He's like, oh, yeah, just hit me with that chair. I won't even feel it.
Throw me through those tacks from the fucking top. God. That's, yeah, because you look at wrestlers, not, well, that's what, back in the day, Stone Cold Steve Austin, him too, he was just like a guy who drank a lot of beer, and he was the biggest ass kicker. Now it's all guys like John Cena who are like the big buff guys.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was all about the everyday man kicking ass.
The everyday. Yeah, all right. Well, I'm not sure.
I work with a guy who wears the metal gimp mask, just like Mick Foley. Walks around with a sock on his hand and everything.
Is he a gimp?
Actually, I never thought about it like that.
He might not be. He might not even know who Mankind is.
He could be a gimp.
Yeah.
I don't know why, whenever I was during that gimp, I thought about how last night at the Condors game, the Chuck-a-Puck, it was the gimp of a deal, was that if you were the closest to the helmet without making it in, all you got was like two tickets to fucking Monster Truck.
Something. Oh, man.
But if you made it inside, you got $650.
I bought two Chuck-a-Pucks and I didn't even throw them.
Really?
I missed it.
Oh, yeah. It was the guy. I knew the guy who made it.
Did you guys go on a Condors date last
night? No, I was just there. And Phil, the only reason Phil saw me is because I was on the Kiss cam.
You got on the Kiss cam.
Oh, no shit.
I didn't even tell you about this because you were sleeping. But on the Kiss cam, I had my arm around my girlfriend. And then with the same arm I had around her, I had my beer. And then so whenever the Kiss cam came to us, I leaned in like I was going to kiss her, and then I really passionately chugged my beer.
It was good. It was funny.
Everyone really? Was like, woo!
Then to make sure that he had a girl.
They actually came back to me to make sure things were still cool.
Yeah.
And I had to kiss her that second time.
Yeah. So
I should have just kept going.
I thought you were going back for the beer.
I should have. That would have been even better.
I watched the game from the Bud Hole myself.
The Budweiser, suite. You know what sucks is I got there like 5 minutes late, and within like the first minute was the only fight of the game.
Yeah, I missed that part too.
Fuck, I got there. It was kick ass.
I was walking in and ran into a friend who gave me the, she gave me a puck.
A real puck?
She dropped the ceremonial puck and she's like, you want this? And I was like, but yes. I've never had a puck before.
I just found randomly a real puck like that last night underneath a seat.
Really?
And I was like, oh, whatever, I'm grabbing this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There. Yeah, you never know.
I was in a terrible spot.
Wait, were you in the Oprah section?
No.
Because check under your Z's.
Oh.
You get a puck and hey, you get a puck.
Seriously, dude, puck yourself.
Once again, I love this podcast, guys. No, I was in this spot, like, right, it was, I didn't realize how terrible it was until, like, halfway through the game, but we were in a row where nobody else was. It was just us, and I didn't realize why until, like, halfway through the game, I realized, like, that I was watching the other side of the net, but we were, like, all right, we were right behind the bench, but we were looking at the other net between nothing. Like, there was no glass or anything. So then I realized that's why there's nobody sitting there, because at any time, a puck is going to fly through and break out.
Those things are serious, too.
Dude, that's what... All I thought about was I knew somebody had gotten killed, like, a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, like, I was just waiting.
Not at a Condor game.
No.
A lot of people get killed.
Yeah. Because my, like, first week at the Blaze...
Puck to death.
That'd be the headline.
It's fucking crazy up there.
Pucked. Pucked, the story of Bruce Gray. Jesus. I remember my like first or second Blaze game ever working, I saw a foul ball, and then there was this old man.
Oh.
And it was a hard line drive coming right at him.
The hardest line drive.
And he stuck his hand, and I just like was so slow, he stuck his hands up like he was going to catch it, but made like a diamond with his hands, you know?
It was further. It was like he was going to catch a football.
It was like this, and it just went straight through. It just,
he thought he was going to get bigger. He didn't have that depth perception to understand how big a baseball was.
It obliterated him.
To the beach ball from really far away.
He bled so much that the fire department came and poured bleach on the whole place.
Okay, I think.
I don't know.
He's fine. We've had some... I mean, we've never had any, like, things serious. We had that. We had a... last year, some guy cut his thumb off.
How the fuck?
I mean, not like all the thumb, just
a moderate amount of
just
thumb.
This
you
much.
Understand this is the audio only podcast. I'm sorry,
I'll hold it up in the microphone. this part right here.
Right.
So, was a guy working, or was a guy just like
He was.
Hey, I'm at the Bucks game. Going to cut my thumb off.
He had like a concourse table. He was like selling his or pitching his, you know, company. I don't even know what it was. All I know is that they're like, Philip, man, this guy cut himself. And I walked up and he didn't have like his part of his thumb. And I was like, oh my God, Jesus. How did you do that? And he said, with a knife. And I thought, well, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah. Was he selling knives? Because that is a good.
No, he was like taking down a tent or something. I don't know. The crazy part is I then had like run through the ballpark looking for a thumb.
Oh my God.
It's like in
like he told me it was under a tent. So I went to both of our tents. The picnic tent, which you can rent for $18 per person, gets you hamburgers, hot dogs, chips, soda, and water for $18 per person.
How many people?
What's up to 175.
What's the minimum?
20.
20.
Perfect. 20. So bring your company up. I'm trying to like play it cool, you know. I don't want anyone to know that. Like,
side note, yeah, you are a horrible anarchist.
I love capitalism. I love making money for rich guys.
You awesome. Your own TV show about an anarchist who loves capitalism.
It's old story.
So I had to like go down to the picnic tent, and I'm like, hey, anyone hurt themselves down here? And people were like, what? Because everyone seemed really cool, you know? Like, no one was freaked out. And I was like, you know, anyone know any accidents down here? Everything's doing all right. And they were like, yeah, everything's fine. So I went to the other picnic
tent. Cool, because I'm not looking for a thumb or anything.
I went to the cool zone, which also has a tent, which is a wonderful place to watch the game. You can sit. It's got a bar seating areas. Okay. You can have your picnic up there. It's got,
and it has misters during the summer as well.
It has misters, which will keep it a little cooler.
And how much do these fill for the cool zone?
They're $12 a game.
$12 a game.
Perfect. Yeah. You get a waitress.
Ooh, a waitress, everybody.
Yeah. So then I go to that section. There are people in there. And I'm like, at this point, this guy's like going to, you know, bleed to death on our concourse. So I'm like, hey, guys, everything okay over here? And they're like, well, yeah. And I was like, nope. Nobody cut their thumb off. They're like, what? And I was like, okay, cool.
That's the thing. You guys don't say that around here. I'm from Jacksonville.
It's a Florida thing, I guess. You wouldn't really understand. So then I went and like, I found his thumb on the concourse and I scooped it up and put it on ice. And I'm glad to say that his thumb is A-okay. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Blood on the concourse. The lost thumb story. Oh, my
goodness. Like anyway, I've been with the Bakers of the Blaze for four seasons, 4.5 years. Man. And I've had enough weird things happen that I might write a book with chapters and verses.
Well, I hope you do.
New Bible. Yeah, I was there for 3 of them. I can vouch.
Oh, yes.
But, let us know when you write that book, and we'll have you back on.
Okay. Sounds good. Or come to the games. They start April 9th.
You're pitching these things, and you'll be gone.
I know, I'll leave April 15th.
So you're going to be here for 4 games?
That's 7 games. In that sweet, sweet.
You're just going to hire a bunch of people. You're just going to hire a bunch of people and just leave town.
I can't decide if I want them to crash and burn after I leave or continue growing and becoming better.
I would hope that growing and becoming better.
Yeah, yeah.
But the anarchist in you wants them to crash.
I'm kind of just like, I'd be crash and burn without me.
I feel like your last move should be like some spray painting. Blaze sucks. Like something on the wall on the outfield. Yeah.
On a water tower.
Phil rules. There's gonna be a big anarchy sign on.
Yesterday I was spraying a bunch of weeds and I thought, man, I should just take this Roundup and write some things in the outfield grass. I didn't. I'm gonna be another 4 months. So I'll have to fix it. You know? Yeah. So
yeah, you had to fix that and unclog that toilet, man.
Yeah. Man.
So where can the listeners that are looking for a job come to get a job with the Blaze? When is that going?
There's a job fair. Oh dang! I think it's Sunday, March 8th at the Marriott downtown.
And they hire a lot of people, so go, you fucking bums.
Yeah, if you need a part time summer gig, we got concessions, we got ushers, groundskeeping.
Bat boy
and
Batman. If you're
ticketing, yeah, you don't have to be a boy to be the. I mean, you have to be. Well,
could there be a there? We will.
There, I mean, there can.
There can be girls.
I mean, I think
legal. Actually, you know, could there be girls? Because in my time as Bat Boy, I must say I saw more penis for enough people to see.
Seriously,
than I could ever see in my lifetime.
It's true.
I don't think there could be a bad girl.
So where do I sign up to be the bad boy?
March 8th at the Marriott. I think it's from 10 to 2.
10 to
go,
2.
Come on down.
Phil will be there. The details are becoming more and more clear.
You know.
Oh, man, it might be.
I think it's March 8th. Keep an eye on our Facebook page.
This is such good press for the Blaze.
This is really the worst press that Bakers and Blaze ever gotten.
If anybody gets hired because of this...
Can you do me a favor and not put this out until April 16th?
This hiring part. Somebody's going to come down and be I heard you on that podcast.
Yeah, no.
Give me a job. Give me a job or I'm spilling the beans.
And I'll be like, oh, you must be Bruce Gray's mom.
You know, there'll be four listeners of this podcast. It'll be my mom, you, Ben. And me and Ben might listen together, so
consolidate our listens. But all right, that's the time for today. Honestly, man, thanks for stopping by.
I'll be around
until April 16th.
Until April 16th. So if you get I'll come back. I can tell you all about my job as a pool boy. Mrs. Butts.
Mrs. Butts. Mrs. Butts pool service.
No, it's cleaned her pool.
Yeah,
she was always in a bikini. It was really
her name was really Mrs. Butts.
Yeah, and 60 years ago it would have been awesome, but
oh wait,
yeah,
she was 62.
No, she was like 80. Oh,
well, guys,
we should get you a unicycle.
Play the music, play us off, get us away from here, please. Do something.
Thanks for listening. Later. Same time, same channel.
Same bad time, same bad motherfucking place.
Fuck you, I'm an anarchist.
All right, how much time was that? That was like 45.